Wow. So today is an exciting day for us here at Hoboken Grace. I just got done with our first baptism at our uptown location, which was awesome. We had two baptisms here earlier this morning, and we've got more to come. You guys get to be part of that celebration today. And, just overall, everything has just been so exciting for us for the last several weeks here as we're just not only expanding, but last week, if you're with us, you got to see that we had two individuals who walked us through the conversation for the very first time here at Hoboken Grace. And Justin and Jason. Jason was down here at 301 and Justin was up at 800. And it's just awesome to see how God is continuing to bring people into this to help us love people better. And last week, I know as you were here, the thing that was amazing to me is that as I came back, I just got report after report after report after report of how amazing last week was. And I want you to know just not only that the fact that they did an amazing job last week, but I want you to know the amount of work that went into that, because I don't want you to fall into the trap of believing that that was just a result of them deciding to come up, you know, I think I'll do this. So they walk on stage and give the conversation last week. They have been working for months and months and months in order to be ready to do this and to walk through this with us together. And every single Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, these guys come together who are part of the speaking team, and they're either giving a message or reviewing a message or preparing a message in some way, shape, or form. And so I just want to be able to celebrate them, and not just celebrate what they did last week, but celebrate the way that they've just continued to pour their lives into this family by preparing for what happened last week. So would you guys just celebrate those guys who spoke last week? And if you haven't been with us for the past few weeks, you should have been. No, I'm just kidding. But if you haven't been with us the past few weeks, right now in the middle of this conversation called Dating and Service. And if this is your first time with us, I just want to kind of get you caught up on what we're walking through. I'm going to move pretty fast today. We've got a lot to cover and a lot to be able to walk through, a lot to celebrate today. And we began this conversation with this idea that in your life and in my life, God wants us to pursue people the way that He's pursued us. That God wants us to step into one another's lives the way that He steps into our life. And God doesn't step into your life. I don't care where you've been on this journey. I don't care what you've done. God doesn't step into your life to get something from you. God steps into your life to serve and to be able to reunite you with your Creator, to be able to love. And so we began with this idea that we need to do the same as we're entering into one another's lives. And so this idea of dating in our culture is often, okay, I'm going to pursue you so that I can get something from you. But we said, what if we flip that upside down? What if we begin to date, setting aside time to pursue intimacy? What if we begin to date in order to serve so that I can leave the people around me better off than when I found them? And so that's kind of been the foundation of this entire conversation. The next week we looked at, well, then how do I know whether I should continue? And we introduced this idea of spiritual chemistry, that you need to continue pursuing intimacy. We serve everyone. We love everyone, but we pursue greater levels of intimacy based upon spiritual chemistry. So I see that you're pursuing God the way that I'm pursuing God, and we're on this mission together. And so we're going to take this to the next level. And then last week we looked at, well, how, if we're going to serve the person that we're with, we can't just know them at this one point in time. We have to be committed to being learners. We have to understand the person that we're with. How has God created them? How do they experience love? And then how can we begin to bring that into their life and into that, their experience? This week we're wrapping up this conversation. And as we do that, I want to introduce you to something that I think is absolutely crucial to everything that we've talked about in order for you to be able to take what we've talked about and begin to put it into practice on a day-to-day basis in your life. And from the very beginning of this conversation, my great fear is that what we introduced at the beginning would allow you to be okay with what I call the fix-it relationship. Now, how many of you know what the fix-it relationship is? Okay, this has happened to all three services, okay? You think you don't, but you do. Okay, a fix-it relationship is this. I understand that there is a huge problem in this relationship. I understand that the person that I'm pursuing has unbelievable character defects, but I think I can fix it. Okay? Now, how many of you know what a fix-it relationship looks like? Okay? A lot of us have been in fix-it relationships. I won't ask you to raise your hands for that one. Okay? Some of you are still in fix-it relationships. And you think, okay, I understand that there's a problem here. Something is very, very wrong. I understand that as it stands, this relationship should have no future, but I think I can fix it. And everyone around you is telling you, no, 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 you can't. Get out, bail, get out of this thing. But you're thinking to yourself, I've got this right where I want it. Right? Everyone's telling you. But remember, who has the ability to lie to us better than us? No one. Right? And so we're lying to ourselves over and over and over again. And my greatest fear is that as we walk through this conversation, that you're going to use what we talked about as an excuse to be part of one of those relationships. And this happens a lot, because this idea that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we're supposed to love those around us, it can be misinterpreted if you don't understand what we're going to talk about today. And my great fear is that you're going to be in one of those relationships and the people around you are going to say, you need to get out, you need to get out, you need to get out. And you're going to say, no, this isn't about what I can get. This is about how I can serve. And this isn't about them loving me. This is about me loving them. That's what we talked about at Hoboken Grace. This is what God wants me to do. And the truth is that in your life and my life, God wants us to love everyone. God wants us to love those who hate us. God wants us to love those, no matter what their character looks like. God wants us to love everyone. God wants us to serve everyone. God wants us to move into every single person's life that we encounter and say, okay, how can I do what is in the best interest of this other person? How can I serve this person? But alongside of that, God teaches us a principle that you have to understand if you're going to love and serve well. And that principle is introduced in the book of Proverbs. It's echoed by Jesus, and it's shared further on in the New Testament as well. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs talks about it all the time. I want to introduce it to you now. It starts off, as we're looking at these passages, we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says this, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about this principle mainly in terms of friendship. And what the writer is trying to help you understand, what God wants to introduce into your experience and my experience is this, you need to be careful with those to whom you are closest. You need to be very, very careful with those to whom you are closest. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7 is talking to his followers and he's sharing with them all this wisdom. And some of it's in the form of a story and some of it's just in terms of simple proverbs. This verse in Matthew chapter 7 verse 6 is just kind of this simple proverb that he shares in the midst of these stories. It starts off, it says, do not give what is holy to dogs and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. You need to be careful about those to whom or those with whom you are intimate. You love everyone. You serve everyone. But you need to guard closely your heart and those with whom you allow it to be intimate. Paul's talking about this in 1 Corinthians as he's writing to the church, and he's specifically talking to them about those who are those within the church that they're allowing to begin to influence them in the direction of the church. And he says to them, he says, don't be fooled by those who are saying such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Listen, guys, you have to be careful about those that you are allowing to speak into your life. You love everyone. You serve everyone. But when it comes to this idea of intimacy, you need to be careful. Because if you begin to allow those without character to become intimate with your heart, you are on the verge of destruction. And this is a principle that goes well beyond dating. This is a principle, like I said, the book of Proverbs usually talks about it in terms of friendship. And the writer's talking to, he's talking to us and saying, listen, when you choose your friends, you need to be careful. When you choose those who are closest to you in friendship, you need to be careful. Why? Because when you become intimate with someone in that way, you begin to allow them to speak into your heart. You begin to allow them to influence your heart. It can easily lead to destruction. And I believe that when you look at how God is teaching us as it pertains to relationships, I believe that God ties intimacy to three crucial things, the four of which I believe make up the foundation of what God is trying to help us look at and to work through in terms of our relationships with the people around us. Because for God, I believe intimacy in your life and my life must be connected to these three things: commitment, demonstrated character. You can bring up the one right after that. And spiritual chemistry. Commitment, demonstrated character, and spiritual chemistry. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about this in terms of spiritual chemistry, right? And the fact that your intimacy with those around you needs to be gauged. It needs to be protected by this idea of spiritual chemistry. And the passage that we looked at, this idea of don't be equally yoked, it's not talking about dating per se. It's a principle that's being applied to business relationships. And God's saying, listen, if you're going to be committed to one another that way, if you're going to be connected to one another that way, intimate with one another that way, and when we use this word intimate, we're not just talking about physically intimate. We're talking about connected. If you're going to be connected to one another that way in business, then you need to make sure that there's spiritual chemistry, that you see the world the same way, that you see God the same way, that you're working towards the same mission. And these passages, as you look at these passages in Proverbs and Matthew, that Jesus is saying, listen, you need to make sure when it comes to intimacy that there's demonstrated character. And I use the word demonstrated character as opposed to wisdom, because inside of our culture, wisdom has become all about knowledge. And so people are perceived as wise when they have a lot of knowledge. That's not what Proverbs teaches us about wisdom. In Proverbs, wisdom is the ability to not just know the right answer, but to actually do it, to actually follow through on it at the right time and the right place. It's about so much more than just information. And God says, listen, you need to be very careful about those with whom you're intimate. And you need to make sure that it's tied to a few things. Spiritual chemistry, demonstrated character, and commitment. And inside of our lives, and as we pursue these relationships, I believe that He's calling us to look at these things over and over and over again. Not just so that we can make decisions about who we're going to pursue intimacy with, but then also inside of those relationships, we can know, okay, what do we need to do? What are the next steps? What do I need to work on? What do we need to work on? Because a solid relationship is a relationship in which these four things are at very similar, if not equal, levels. And when these things begin to get out of whack, when these things begin to change, when one is higher than the other, you find yourself in a situation that is very, very dangerous. A situation in which you can get hurt very, very deeply. And not just that. Proverbs says, it can begin to destroy who you are. And so you find yourself in a relationship where there's a great amount of intimacy. As a matter of fact, there's a great amount of commitment, but there's absolutely no spiritual chemistry, and there's really no demonstrated character. The book of Proverbs says that in that situation, you're going to find yourself in destruction faster than you could possibly imagine. And some of you know that because you have friendships like this. And they've been friends with you your whole life. And so you feel like, man, they're my best friend. I grew up with this friend. I've just had this friend forever. And so you're very committed to them. And they know you very well. And you know them very well. But there's no character. And so every time you hang out with them, you find yourself moving backwards and backwards and backwards and backwards. And God says, if you're not careful, that's going to destroy you. And God says, in that situation, you need to decrease the level of intimacy and decrease the level of commitment. Hey, listen, we can be friends. But we're not going to be friends the way that we were friends before. Because we just, it's not safe. It's going to destroy you. I have this conversation in all sorts of different contexts. The context that I actually have this conversation more than anything else is in the context of children with their parents. Because I have at least 5 to 6 conversations a year where someone walks into my office and says, listen, Chris, I hear you talking about loving people. I want to be able to love the people around me. I hear you talking about forgiveness. I want to be able to forgive my dad. But every single time I reach out to him, every single time I talk to him, it just destroys me. And they sit in my office and they talk to me about what their relationship with their dad has been like. And it's just over and over and over again. Every time they open their heart, it's just pain. And I walk them through this principle, and what I have to say to them usually surprises them, because I tell them, listen, your dad has no demonstrated character whatsoever. Over and over and over again, your dad has shown that he does not care about you. That he does not know how to love. I said, and it almost always shocks them. I look at them and say, you need to stop talking to your dad. They're like, wait a second, I thought we were supposed to love everyone. You are. But here's the thing about love, and this is where this all gets twisted and messed up. We keep thinking that loving someone is making them feel good. That's not true. Is that what Jesus does? When you pick up this book and you begin to read through the story of Jesus Christ, is that what Jesus does? Sometimes. Other times it looks very different. When you look at Jesus and the Pharisees and the things that he has to say to them, it's not making them feel better. And I used to think that he wasn't loving them, but what I began to realize is that he was actually loving them a great deal. But loving them wasn't helping them feel better. Loving them was helping them to realize where they were. And some of you are in this relationship, it's unbelievably destructive, and you think that you're loving them by staying. You're not. You're enabling them by staying. Loving is always serving, but serving is not always staying. And sometimes the thing that they need more than anything else is for you to look at them and say, listen, you have no character. We can't be friends like this anymore. Because you know what they need more than anything else? They need to learn that if they keep living this way, they're never going to have a relationship above here. And in that situation, you think, I'm going to fix it. And you think you're loving, but you're not. And God's saying, listen, you need to look at these levels. And we love everyone, and we serve everyone, but serving is not always staying. And I'll have this conversation with these individuals and say, listen, you need to stop talking to your dad. Or maybe it's not that you stop talking to him, but you need to have conversations on a very surface level. Because that's where you are. And you need to make sure that when you look at that relationship, that these four things are on the same plane. This is why in your relationship, in your life, in my life, as we pursue relationships, God says, listen, you need to make sure that your intimacy level doesn't exceed your commitment level. You need to make sure that you don't step into a situation with someone where your intimacy level is way up here and your commitment level's way down here. And a lot of you have experienced unbelievable pain in relationships because you've allowed the intimacy level to skyrocket and the commitment level was way down here. And you think that God's robbing you of something when he's telling you this, but what he's trying to do is to help you understand that when they get out of whack, you're in danger. And that's not, I'm not just talking about physical intimacy here. Some of you are in relationships, and I say this every single time we walk through a dating series, and the guys usually don't like it that much, and the girls appreciate it a great deal, but I will always say it every single relationship series that we walk through, I will say it. Some of you are in situations right now, when you look at your relationship, the intimacy level's way up here, and it's not just physical intimacy. You've been together for a long time. You know each other very, very well. You are really, really connected to one another, but the commitment level is still way, way down here. Girls, here's what you need to do. You need to put a date on it. Okay? Now, I'm dead serious about this. You need to set a date. All right? You need to sit down with them and say, listen, we've been together for a long time, buddy. We've been together for a long time. I know you. You know me. We like each other. It's good this way, okay? And you're looking at these other things, too, and you see, like, we've got spiritual chemistry. We're moving in the same direction. We're passionate about the same things. And you look at this person. You realize that they've got character, and you think you've got character. Maybe in the conversation, they'll let you know why the commitment level's down here. No, but you see the characters there, and you're looking at this. You need to sit down with them and say, all right, bud, you got 6 months to make this happen. And if the commitment level doesn't get to where the intimacy level is in 6 months, the intimacy level is going to go right down here. And you think I'm joking about it, but I'm not. And you're in danger. I think Beyonce said it the best. If you like it, then you need to put a ring on. All right? And I know some of you are here and you're like, oh, I'm not all about that. You know, it's like, I'm not about that commitment level like that. We're committed to one another. I'm committed to her. She's committed to me. I don't need a piece of paper. Then move to a culture where you don't need a piece of paper. Okay? This isn't a culture that works that way. And if you think your commitment is the same without it, you're wrong. And the day after you get married, you'll find out that that's true. And if you want to live that way, move to a culture where it's just based on your word. But here's the thing about that, guys. Just to give you a heads up. Cultures where you live by your word, when you break your word, you die. Okay? You die. I'm not kidding about this. This is the way it works. And some of you need to set a date. Some of you, you look at this and unfortunately, as you look at this, you're like, no, the commitment level's there. You're married, but the intimacy level's way down here. We walked through this a couple weeks ago, and you looked at spiritual chemistry, it's way down here. I don't walk you through this, and we're not walking through this together for me to be able to be here at the end and for you to be without hope. Here's the thing about this. For those of you who find yourselves in those situations, our God is a God who conquered sin and death. Our God is a God who took screwed up, messed up, broken me and brought him back to life. Who took screwed up, broken, messed up you and brought you back to life. You're not without hope. And sometimes when you read through God's word, you hear things that are hard to deal with. And for some of you, as you walk through this, you're hearing some things that are hard to deal with. But here's what I want you to know. God's not having this conversation with you to let you know that you're in trouble. God's having this conversation with you because he wants to show you there's hope. But he wants to do it in a real way, confronting the real problems, the real issues, and working on the really important stuff. And some of you are here and you find yourself in that situation and you realize your intimacy level's low. And others of you are here and you're looking at it, you're like, the character level is low. Spiritual chemistry level is low. I want to give you just a couple things here. just really quick advice if you find yourself in those situations, whether you're there now, whether you find yourself there in the future, or as you're instructing those around you, helping out a friend. When you find yourself in that situation, the intimacy level's low. Guys, especially, one of the first things that you need to pay attention to is your demonstrated character. Because here's the thing about you and your wife. You can do all sorts of things to increase that intimacy level. Date nights, you know, bringing home flowers, all the romantic stuff. But here's one of the things I've found about relationships, especially with girls. Girls' intimacy level is very connected to the character that they see demonstrated. And sometimes they can lie to themselves before they get married, but after marriage especially, it's unbelievably connected. And guys, you want to raise the intimacy level in your marriage, you work on your demonstrated character. When she sees you demonstrating character, your intimacy level is going to increase. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when it comes to this idea of spiritual chemistry. Just because you don't have spiritual chemistry right now doesn't mean that it always has to be that way. One of the things that I challenge are those who are walking through premarital counseling with me about is that I want them to begin to read through God's Word together and to begin to pray together. Why? Because not only will it increase their spiritual chemistry, but it also increases intimacy as well. And some of you are looking at this and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. Listen, God can do amazing things. And in your life and my life, He wants to step in and say, okay, listen, this is what it should look like. Now let's go. Now for others of you, He's stepping in, and you guys are in, you're in that process of trying to decide how is this going to work? And you're thinking that you're going to fix the other person. There's a truth that we just cannot seem to wrap our minds around, and that is this. Who you marry is who you're going to be married to. Who you begin to date is who you're going to be dating. And God says, you need to be careful about who you're intimate with. You need to be careful about intimacy. And we love everyone, and we serve. But when it comes to those that we're closest to, we need to pay attention to these three things. Because God wants to make sure in your life and in my life that we live to the fullness of why we were created. And that means that those that we're closest to, He wants to be pushing us forward in that direction as well. And for us to be doing the same for them. Intimacy, demonstrated character, commitment, and spiritual chemistry. I believe the four things that are the absolute foundation to the relationships that God wants to have in our lives, no matter what that relationship is. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this and we look at these four things that you're teaching us, Father, I pray for those who are here who are searching. I pray that this would just be an unbelievable message of hope. I pray that this would give them confidence as they walk into this. Father, I pray for those who are here who find themselves in a relationship where maybe this doesn't match up and there are some conversations that need to be had and maybe even situations where they just need to walk away. Father, I pray that they would trust You. I pray for those who find themselves in those situations because they're serving this God of intimacy. They just believe that intimacy is going to make them happy and secure. Father, I just pray that You would reveal that for what it is. That they would see that this God of intimacy eventually leaves us with no intimacy at all. I pray for those who are serving this God of marriage. Believing that if they could just be married, if they could just get the commitment, even though there's no character whatsoever, that everything would be okay. Father, I pray that they would see that the God of marriage delivers nothing in the long run. Father, I pray that they would trust you. That we would trust you. To be able to have the difficult conversations. To be wise ourselves. Not just in knowing where we need to decrease the level of intimacy. But in actually following you and doing it. Father, I thank you for how you've loved us. I thank you that you're not a God who just comes to us to talk about big concepts and distant ideas. But as the perfect dad, you want to be part of every aspect of our lives. To teach us. In every area, how to be able to love better, to live better. In Jesus' name, amen.